Are you glad you came to the house of the Lord this morning? Yeah. Well, it's so good to see everyone here on this August Sunday morning. Praise the Lord. It's amazing that two-thirds of the year is already almost gone. I don't know about you. I'm still getting used to writing 2016 on my checks. And here it's about to turn another year before you know it. Praise the Lord. It's just so good to see new faces with us all the time. Again, we welcome those of you that are visiting Family Church for the first time, or maybe your second or third time. It's just good to see you this morning. For those of you that are visiting, my name is Pastor Tim Stallman. I'm the senior pastor here, and we just welcome you. And it's just so good to have new faces with us all the time. Praise God. We know that God's got a great plan for your life. He tells us so over there in Jeremiah 29:11. He says, I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans not to harm you, but to prosper you, to give you hope and a future. Aren't you glad? God's got a plan. Yeah, he says, I know my thoughts and my plans for you. God is well aware of what he wants to accomplish in your life. And I'll tell you what, it's better than what you could ever think up on your own. You know, so let's get into that plan for our life. That's already blessed. All that you need is provided in that plan. Let's not just try to, you know, be an architect of our own plans and desires in life. Let's let God have his way. Amen. Praise the Lord. So that's what Family Church is about. We want to give you answers for your life straight out of the Bible. It's not my opinion that matters. It's not your opinions that matter. It is the Word of God that is first and foremost. Amen. Did you come hungry for the Word here today? Praise the Lord. Well, go ahead and turn with me in your Bibles this morning to Genesis chapter 8. And I'm going to call this message, What Kind of Dirt Are You? I went down to that family church and that pastor said I was dirt. Well, praise the Lord. God calls us dirt. Amen. Now, when you hear that, don't think it's an insult. It's just an illustration that the Bible uses to paint a picture of the soil of our heart. Amen. Praise the Lord. And God wants to plant seed in the soil of our heart because he wants to grow a harvest in our lives. Amen. But how many of you know the quality of the soil, it matters. And if you're going to grow a harvest in your life, we're going to have to make sure that the soil is well prepared, right? Of course, I am no farmer. I'm not even a gardener at all. But just a little, you know, a little background knowledge that we know that a farmer just can't just throw seed anywhere and expect to get a harvest. That field has to be prepared. It has to be tilled. It has to be weeded. Got to get the rocks out, right? Sometimes the soil is too acidic or not acidic enough. I'm not sure which way that goes, what way it works. But sometimes they'll treat the ground with lime and chemicals or whatever just to make sure that it is prepared for a good harvest. And I'll tell you what, if we're going to be good dirt for God, we're going to have to make sure that we prepare the soil for his word. Amen. And we do that by being attentive, by being hungry, by being bringing a great measure to receive the word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. We don't let the summer slow us down because it's been a hot, muggy summer. We don't let the busyness of life and all the things that we have to do, we don't let it slow us down or rob our excitement for the things of God. Listen, because I'll tell you what, there is one kind of person that God is looking to bless and to fill, and that is the person that receives the word of God with great joy. Yes. With great joy. Praise the Lord. So let's go over to Genesis chapter 8. I'm going to read verse 22, the last verse of that chapter. You know, we use the term, of course, in our Christianese, you know, a lot of church lingo, I guess you could say. You know, you hear it in Christian TV. You know, it's always talk about, we got to sow a seed, sow a seed, sow a seed. And a lot of times it's in reference to giving or providing finances or giving money to a ministry or to a church, and people say, I'm going to sow a seed. I'm going to sow a seed. And that's actually true. The Bible does use the illustration of seed time and harvest when it comes to giving and receiving. Praise the Lord. It says over there, what is 2 Corinthians 9:6, that he that sows sparingly shall reap sparingly, but he that sows bountifully shall reap bountifully, and in context is talking about an offering. So we know the scripture does use it in terms of finances. But if we're not careful, we'll start to think that seed time and harvest is only a financial principle, that it's only about what we give or what we receive financially. But actually, seed time and harvest is a principle that covers all areas of life, and it is a principle that governs this earth as long as this earth remains. Amen. So sowing a seed isn't just what you give. Sowing a seed is also the words that you speak. Yes. Sowing a seed is also your attitudes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Sowing a seed is also your actions.
Yes.
Every action of yours, every attitude of yours, every word of yours, every bit that we give, all right? All of that is a seed and may produce a harvest in our life, whether it is positive harvest or negative harvest. All right. And the good thing about seed time and harvest is that God allows us to participate in the harvest that's going to be in our lives. The question is, how much harvest do you want?
Yeah, right.
All right. And I don't mean just financially. I mean, how much of a blessed marriage do you want?
Oh, yeah, right.
How much do you want blessed children? How much do you want a blessed business? How much do you want a blessed church? How much do you want a blessed life, a long life? How much health do you want in your life? Right. Well, I'll tell you, all these things are harvests of God, all right? But we have to sow the right seed. You know, we don't look at a farmer who has three silos full of grain, and then we see a farmer over here that only has one silo of grain. We don't look at the farmer with more grain and say, how dare he have more than this other guy, right? We don't look at that. We don't blame that farmer because we don't say, how dare he? Because we know that he just, what? He planted more seed than the other guy. All right. Maybe he had more opportunities. Maybe he had more fields to sow into. Right. Amen. So it was just simply a matter of how much seed, how much good seed did he get into the ground? Amen. Praise the Lord. So let's go over here to Genesis 8 in verse 22. We have to know the principles that God has established on this earth. We have to live within their boundaries. We have to operate skillfully in these principles. And if we don't, it's not going to be God's fault if a harvest doesn't grow, right? It will be on our side. How many of you know there's no problem with the seed? The word of God is the seed, by the way. All right, we'll get into that, all right? And of course, God is the sower, so to speak. There's no problem with him, all right? But the soil, is the soil prepared? The soil of our heart. Let's look at verse 22. It says, while the earth remains. While the earth remains. Well, aren't you glad that the earth was remaining today when you woke up? And so this verse is actually a verse that is this is good right up till right now because the earth is still here. Aren't you glad? It says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. All right. And of course, we're focusing on seed time and harvest. It is a principle that God has put in the earth. It will be good on this earth as long as the earth remains. All right? Praise the Lord. Seed, time, and harvest. You know, a lot of times people, they have a misconception about God. They think God and what God does is random. What God does is no more random than a farmer going out to his field and purposely planting seed, taking care of it, and watching it grow. Did a farmer grow a harvest randomly? No, he did so on purpose. He used the principle of seed time and harvest to produce increase. It's not random. It's not by accident. It's not by chance. It's not by luck. It's not like, you know, God moves in mysterious ways. I'm going to tell you right now, God does not move in mysterious ways. The Bible doesn't say that. People say, well, just because you didn't know how God moved didn't mean that he didn't already tell us. He told us how he was going to move, how he's going to interact heaven and earth, how to operate within his principles. He does not hide these principles from us. So stop saying that religious garbage. Just because you don't know, right? Just because maybe I didn't figure it out or you didn't figure it out, didn't mean that the answer wasn't there in God's word the whole time. It's not mysterious. You're going to see that Jesus in his own words today tells us it's given to you to know the mystery. God's not mysterious. He said, this is how I'm going to work, seed time and harvest. Why? Because seed time and harvest makes it fair to every single one of us. It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter your church history. It doesn't matter about your ethnicity. It doesn't matter your education. It doesn't matter your gender. I think I already said that. It does not matter. Those things do not govern your harvest. Oh, come on now. God put this principle in the earth. You know, some people, they think that everything that is happening on this earth is God perpetrating that act. You know, they'll say, well, you know, there's a famine, or there's war, or there's destruction, and they'll say, well, God, it was an act of God. You know, I don't know if you've seen all the flooding that has been down there in, you know, Louisiana and so on. And, you know, you see on the Weather Channel, they're calling it an act of God. Some form of destruction comes in, and it's God that's doing this destruction, because the world, they don't know the loving Father. They don't understand that Jesus said in John 10:10 that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus has come that we would have life, and life more abundantly. All right? The wages of sin is death. But the gift of eternal life, the gift of our Father, right? The gift of Jesus Christ is eternal life. Amen. God did not, you know, we don't just perceive God as this destructive, angry God. He's not a destructive, angry God. He has made peace with the world through Jesus, his Son. Amen. And they'll, and a lot of times, you know, the people, they look at this, these things and say, well, God's up to it. No, 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 no. God's not behind that. What has happened is that people have been sowing the wrong seeds. You know, a baby will be born, you know, addicted to crack or cocaine or something as a result of that child's mother being in that lifestyle. And that child could have, you know, birth defects and all that stuff. And they'll say, well, God willed it. God had a plan. God did not make that child that way. That is a result of that parent making wrong decisions. Sowing bad seed in a bad harvest was the result. You know, that's absolutely right. And so we could use so many examples. People say, well, I'm going through a hard time in my life. God is doing it. Listen, no, 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 no. Our lives are no more, no less the result of the seed we've been sowing in our life. How we've been acting, what we've been saying, what we've been doing. All right? And sometimes you can reap a bad harvest on bad seed. But the good news is that if you've been reaping a bad harvest, you can change the seed you've been sowing and get it going God's way and reap a good harvest, God's harvest in your life. Amen. Because this principle is going to be alive and active on this earth for as long as we're going to be here. All right. Let's go over to the New Testament, to Matthew chapter 13. We'll see how Jesus used seed time and harvest. And it's simply this. Seed time and harvest is the seed goes into the ground. The seed is watered and cared for, and something better grows. Aren't you glad? What the seed, you know, what when the seed goes in, what you get in return is better than the seed. Aren't you glad? All right. I would rather eat tomatoes than tomato seeds. Right? Okay. Praise the Lord, you know, and I think you could use that illustration. I would rather eat apples or oranges than apple seed or orange seeds. Actually, I can't stand orange seeds. You know, you ever get your lemon in your iced tea and you get the little slice of lemon and it's just loaded? And then, you know, I always like to squeeze out my lemon, of course, and all the seeds go, you know, they drop into your iced tea and all of a sudden you have one shoot down the back of your throat. And you go into this hacking fit in the middle of the restaurant or whatever. See, because I want the lemon, but I don't want the seeds. But I need to plant those seeds if I want more lemon in my iced tea. Praise the Lord. Not that I grow my own lemons for iced tea. Praise the Lord. But, you know, I'm making the illustration that what grows as a result of the seed is what we're after. Aren't you glad that we don't just live on seeds? But what we eat and what we live on came from a seed. Praise the Lord. All right, so where did I tell you to go? Matthew chapter 13. Amen. But I'll think of all that potential that's in that seed. All the potential that's in that seed. And so when you start sowing the right seed, a good harvest starts moving your way. The process has begun, and that process is unstoppable. You know, that process... it works. It's automatic. Do you know people have this idea that science competes with God? No. God is the author of all true science. He established those physical laws. He established these principles. All right? And once they're in motion, they work automatically. See, we don't have to sit and wonder, is God's word going to work? You don't wonder if the grass seed is going to grow. You know that if it hits the dirt, if it gets the right amount of moisture, if it's watered and cared for, it is going to work. Because it is a principle that happens automatically. It's like a physical law. Well, in the same way, so are the spiritual laws. Yeah, you put them in motion, they're going to work for you. And amen, and it's not just working for us, it's working for us so that we can be a greater resource to the kingdom of God. Amen. Let me show you how Jesus used this principle and taught us this principle. Matthew 13 and verse 1. Glory to God. Seed time and harvest. God's not acting randomly. This principle governs all the earth. Yeah. And we have to live within its boundaries and work it. And not just say, well, God will, if he wills it, good. If he doesn't, just think that God's got a roulette wheel. Hopefully the ball bounces into your number today. No. A farmer, a good farmer, does nothing randomly. They're systematic. They plow this field, they plow that field, they plow that field. They can tell by the number of acres how many bushels of corn it's going to yield. They know what the price is going for. They know exactly what they're going to make ahead of time. It is purpose. It is exact. Amen. And God's the same way. If you're just thinking that God's just like a ripe fruit tree and hopefully a piece falls off the branch and hits you on the head, you know, come on now. Christians, we're not lucky. You know, we're not living within the realm of chance. We're not living hoping for luck, hoping that our number comes up. Listen, just take the principle and get it working in your direction. Because God would not give us seed if he didn't want harvest in our lives. Does he want a harvest in our life? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. And when people hear harvest, they think, oh, he's just talking about finances. No. I'm talking about all areas of life. I'm talking about a healthy marriage. I'm talking about a healthy body. I'm talking about a healthy mind. I'm talking about good relationships, good attitudes, peace, joy, fulfillment. Amen. Knowing God and knowing how his kingdom works. Verse 1, it says, the same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the seaside. See, Jesus liked the ocean too. Praise the Lord. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. So that's an interesting service there that day. You had the seashore for your sanctuary, you had the boat for your pulpit, and you had Jesus as your preacher. Well, that sounds pretty good. Praise the Lord. See, Jesus liked boats. And it says this in verse 3, and he spake many things unto them in parables. Parables are examples or short stories to illustrate a point. All right? And so Jesus used these illustrations, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. All right? And I'm going to end the suspense right now. Of course, you know what a sower is. Somebody, a man or a woman, who goes out to plant seed into the ground. Yeah. All right? Very, very simple. And in this illustration, we're going to know this, that the seed is an illustration to the word of God. All right, Jesus said in Mark 4:14, the sower sows the word. You can have no harvest from God until the word of God gets into your heart and is active in your life. Okay? So our heart is the soil, God's word is the seed, and the sower is the Lord himself, and he uses other men and women in ministry and so on to preach the word, to sow that seed into our hearts, okay? I think that's easy for us to understand. We don't need to take much time. Jesus isn't telling us how to plant a garden. He's telling us, using an illustration of the condition of our heart and God's purpose with his word in our lives. So he says, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed or planted, some seeds fell by the wayside or the roadside, or we would say this, the shoulder of the road. All right? And the fowls or the birds came and devoured the seeds up. Some seeds fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness or depth of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other seeds fell into good ground. Everyone say good ground. And brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Notice that seed produces multiplication. God wants to what? Multiply our life. He's not just adding in our life. He multiplies in our life. Multiplication is a faster process. It's a bigger process than adding. Aren't you glad? Praise the Lord. All right. And so then Jesus says in verse 9, he says, who hath ears to hear, let them hear. Is there anyone, you know, did everyone bring their ears with them here today? Well, guess what? We had a guy back here raise his hand. He brought his. Thank you, Andrew. I saw that hand. He's got his ears. Praise the Lord. We love being responsive, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. And so this applies to every single one of us. Jesus isn't just being poetic here. He's not just filling space. He's saying this is of great importance. If you want to know God, if you want to flow with God, you better understand what this illustration is talking about. You better know something about the sower sowing within seed time and harvest. And look at this in verse 10. It says, the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables or these illustrations? And Jesus answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. What Jesus is talking about, he said, I have to use these illustrations so that they will easily understand it. He said, I could just speak plainly to you, but I use these illustrations to help them learn it. Yes. All right, and he says, it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. When people say, well, God works in mysterious ways, okay, if it's a mystery to you, it's because we haven't done our homework. But he is saying this principle, this parable is revealing how heaven works with this earth. How God responds, how God produces in our life. All right, here it is, seed, time, and harvest. And he said, I'm going to unveil this mystery. You don't have to wonder how God works anymore. It's real simple. God said, here's the seed, all right? You go and grow a harvest with it. And so if you go without, it's not going to be his fault. He provided the principle. Oh, come on. God will allow us to reap our bad decisions. He'll allow us to reap our good decisions. He will allow us to reap our bad attitudes. He'll allow us to reap of our good attitudes. He will allow us to reap out of selfishness. He will also allow us to reap our generosity. So it's just the question is, what kind of dirt are you? And how much harvest do you want to live in? Because God has not preset a limit to you. He has not put a ceiling on one and a higher ceiling on the other. People are just out there thinking, well, God made this. He just gave me this low kind of living, but he gave them a higher living, gave them lower living. No, no, no. He gave us all seed time and harvest. The playing field is level as far as God is concerned. Because his seed will overcome a lack of education. His seed will overcome a lack of income. His seed will overcome depression. It'll overcome a bad church history or no church history. Yeah, amen. No matter where you are, no matter how much society says you are behind the eight ball for this reason, guess what? You can sow your way out. You can sow your way out. You can sow your way out with kindness. You can sow your way out with generosity. You can sow your way out with a good attitude. You can sow your way out by being good to your spouse. Listen, you say, well, Pastor, I'm going through this, I'm going through that. All right, maybe, you know, maybe you're going through a trial. Maybe you're reaping a little bit of some bad seed. Listen, that's not the point. The point is that you can start sowing towards a better direction. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, so Jesus said, this is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. So now it's this. I'm a former elementary school teacher, and I taught kindergarten for a year. I taught third grade for a year. I taught fourth grade for a year. And I started by teaching high school and middle school for a year. All right. And I don't remember exactly what grade it was. I believe it was third grade. And I had to teach a science unit about planting seeds and watching them grow. And, you know, the kids had to predict what happens and what part of the seed goes into the dirt and all this stuff, you know. But it was very simple, you know. They had the little styrofoam cup, and then we got the little Miracle-Gro potting soil. And they had to, you know, plant their seed in there. And every day for a week or whatever, we, you know, put a little bit of water in all those cups. And wouldn't you know it, several days later, all of a sudden they would come in after a weekend, and there'd be little green sprouts. And all the kids would be excited. The kids that had taller grass, they'd start rejoicing. The kids that had no grass would start crying. You know, but in the same way, all those kids were given the same dirt. They were given the same seed. They were given the same opportunity, right? And they rejoice when something grows. God says it is no more difficult to understand how heaven works than it is for a child to understand that when that seed hits that dirt and it gets a little bit of water, something's going to happen. Something's going to grow. And you know what? The kids, when you handed them the grass seed or whatever the thing is that we were growing, you know, especially grass seed, it's so not impressive. You know, grass seed is real thin, and they get this little pumps of stuff. It just looks like dust, really. You know, and the kids just look at it. They're not impressed with that. But when those green sprouts start topping that soil, they're impressed with that. Because no one is living just for the seed. We're living for the harvest, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And so it produces more than what you sow. Aren't you glad? All right. And so Jesus says, but you need to know this. If you have an ear to hear, this is something you need to understand. Stop saying it's mysterious how God works. Stop saying it's a mystery why what happens on this earth. It's not a mystery. I can tell you why every war started, because someone somewhere was selfish and sowed the wrong seeds. Yep. Why is there poverty, and why is there this and this death and destruction? Because somewhere humanity, the wages of sin is death and destruction. As humanity turns its back on God, you can expect more death and destruction on this earth. It's just simple. Seed time and harvest. Humanity is reaping what humanity has sown, because this principle governs all of the earth. If you don't want tomato plants, stop sowing tomato seeds. You don't want a destroyed marriage? Well, then stop sowing strife and anger. Well, I don't want my marriage to fall apart. Well, then stop losing your temper. Stop sowing wrong. I'm fed up with never having enough, and, you know, never can pay all my bills. Well, then stop robbing God. Praise the Lord. Yeah, you know. Well, I don't want this. I don't want that. Well, then stop sowing the seeds in that direction then. Praise the Lord. Yeah. You know, here's the good news. If your life is being affected by somebody else that is sowing wrong seed, and sometimes that can happen. You can be affected by somebody else's wrong harvest or whatever. But the good news is, start sowing your own good seed. Amen. Just start sowing in a different direction. Yeah. Amen. You know, if you don't want certain things, don't sow the seed. You know, if you don't want corn, don't plant corn seed. Right. Don't want, you know. Praise the Lord. Amen. You don't want children? Well, then. Oh, wait, hold on. If you don't want kids right now, well, you know, some people, well, they'll just say, well, God, oh my goodness, I don't want to get on a soapbox, but I'm going to get on a soapbox. Well, God just keeps giving us more and more children. If you want more and more kids, you can have 10, 20, 30 if you want to. But they say, well, God, you know, just, you know, no. God gave you the process of seed time and harvest. If it's not good for your finances right now, if it doesn't fit for your life, don't just shrug your shoulders and say, well, God just had this. No, you had a part to play in that. It's called seed time and harvest. No, you just keep reaping what was sown. I'm trying to be as discreet and as appropriate as possible, but I hear people say that stuff all the time. He gave you the principle. He gave you the principle. You can have as much or as little as you want. Gave you the principle. You are going to be a deciding force on what harvest grows in your life. God cannot just come upon your life and say, okay, here's harvest, but you've never sowed a seed for it. No farmer does that. You know, no farmer is foolish enough to go out his field and say, come on already. What gives with this field? This rotten field isn't growing. Where's my harvest? And he's sitting there with a pile of seed in the corner. All right. All right. You wouldn't want to give a farmer seed who does not plant it, would you? That'd be a waste, wouldn't it? You know, if you have seed and you want to be part of someone's harvest, you don't give seed to someone who doesn't plant it. Do you think God's at least as smart as you are? God gives seed to the sower. 2 Corinthians 9:10, right? Can we bring that up real quick? 2 Corinthians 9:10. People say, well, you know, harvest. We'll get sowing. Get sowing. Well, I need a harvest tomorrow. I don't know, because there's seed time and harvest. Why isn't it happening quick? You're in the time part of it. You sowed the seed, now you've moved into the time principle, because there is a season before you reap. Say, well, I just learned about this. I need my harvest tomorrow. Well, then it's not a harvest you're looking for. It's a miracle. And you've tried to violate the principles. All right. Now he, God, that ministers seed to the sower, both ministers bread for your food. Right? Aren't you glad he ministers that? He multiplies your seed sown. That's what it does. What you get in return is always better than what you gave in the first place. And he will increase the fruits of your righteousness. Isn't that an awesome promise? This is actually spoken to the giver. In context, it's talking about an offering. As God says, I am going to give seed to the one that sows it. Not the one that sits there getting frustrated with the field and yet they haven't planted the seed. All right? Praise the Lord. Okay. And so we're here in verse 11, it says that Jesus said, it is given to us to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. So now I know how heaven works. No more mystery anymore. God works on seed time and harvest. Very simple. That's how heaven works. Amen. And so look at verse 12. Look what Jesus said. If you are religious minded, okay, Jesus is about to make you mad. If you are... if you have the thinking of the world, if you have grown to adopt the spirit of the world, if you've come to this place to believe a socialistic attitude that everyone should just have the same no matter what they do, well, then you aren't going to jive with God very much. Because I got news for you. God's not a socialist. Say, well, Pastor, you're getting political. You're talking about a political candidate. No, the socialist isn't even in there anymore. You know, praise the Lord. And the man can be sincere or whatever. I'm not talking about the man. I'm talking about the principle. But if you've bought this idea, well, everyone should just have the same, no matter what they've done, no matter who's done what. Listen, you are wrong. Woo, praise the Lord. Watch what Jesus is going to say. Whether this affects your personal thoughts, your political thoughts, I don't care. It's going to rock your world. Jesus says, for whosoever has, and he's talking about who has the spiritual understanding of this principle, to him shall be given, and literally it says in the Greek, shall be given more. He that understands seed time and harvest, and just because they keep sowing and getting more harvest, God says, yeah, take the one who's using this principle and give them even more. And he shall have more abundance. God says, yeah, take the one that knew how to work it and had abundance and give him more abundance. Don't let that spirit of the world come upon you and say, no, you need to take from the abundant one and give it to the one, you know, that didn't sow the seed, who didn't work the principle. Oh, my goodness. Oh, man. I love it. I love when it just rocks and rattles our theology and maybe even our political lives or whatever it is. Well, you know, I have talked to people. They say, so-and-so shouldn't have that. They shouldn't have that. Well, I don't know so-and-so. But it's not your job to decide what they have and what they don't have. Why? Because you don't know what they've sown. You don't know what seeds they put into the ground. You don't know how hard they worked. You don't know how they sacrificed. You don't know. God said, yeah, to him that understands this principle. Bring it up in the Amplified, would you please? Let's watch the original Greek language. For whoever has spiritual knowledge of this principle of seed time and harvest, to him will more be given. Yes. And he will be furnished richly. Oh my goodness. So that he will have abundance. Jesus. Don't you know that socialism is trying to take over America? Come on now. But from him who has not, the person that will not operate in seed time and harvest, who doesn't understand it, the person that takes it for granted, even what he has will be taken away. Oh my goodness. Wow, Lord. See, because with God, it's the principle. It's the principle. And I'm not here to say God's a capitalist versus a socialist, you know, but he is. No, there's obviously a lot of problems. God isn't one or the other. He doesn't pick a political or economic philosophy. These are the principles that govern the earth. And the reason why America has risen to such great power is that at our founding and for several decades, we sowed the right seed. We founded our government. We founded our economy based on the principles of the Word of God. And of course, God, it's automatic. Yeah. It just produces. Praise the Lord. And so God said, listen, this will work for you. This will work for you. He said, if you have knowledge and understanding, don't blame God. Because the one that understands this, the one that participates in this, who understands everything they do with their finances is a seed. Every attitude and every word of theirs is a seed. Every action of theirs is a seed. Yeah, he said, if you understand that, he said, God says, when they know it and understand and they keep sowing the right seeds, he says, even if they have abundance, give them even more. Yeah. Amen. Because God says, I am not wasting my seed on people that will not use this principle.
That's good. Good word. Come on.
You want more seed to sow? Well, then start being faithful with what you have now.
That's right.
Notice this, that when you don't understand this principle, everything what you do have, right, is vulnerable. The devil will steal from the person that does not understand seed time and harvest. Why is the world so poor? Because the world is not operating in this principle. Why is America $21 trillion in debt? Because America has left this principle. Why isn't there enough to eat? Because the world has left this principle. Come on now. Why is our nation getting weaker and our enemies are getting stronger? Because we left this principle. We decided to think everyone deserves a participation trophy. You've seen this? When I was a kid, when you went into Little League, you did not get a trophy unless you won the game. And we had to sit there. And we had to, when we lost, we sat there and we watched the other kids get a trophy. And guess what it did? It built character.
Yeah.
And our coaches said, hey, you win, sometimes you lose. And sometimes you got to watch other people win and you got to be happy for them.
Yeah.
Nowadays, they just give every kid a trophy. There's no such thing as winners and losers now. Everyone just gets rewarded no matter how hard they played, whether they won or lost. Because we got to keep everybody. No. What that is erasing the principle of seed time and harvest. If you practice hard, you play hard, you play better than someone else, you're going to be rewarded for your effort. And sometimes you're not going to be rewarded, and you're going to watch somebody else go ahead of you. And guess what? You're to rejoice for them. See, there was a thing called sportsmanship, good attitude. But now this spirit of the world is coming in to try to rob that. Everyone just gets a reward. Doesn't matter what you did. You still deserve it. Doesn't matter how hard you work or didn't. Everyone deserves it. No, wrong. God does not work that way. Woo, praise the Lord. Pastor, I didn't realize I was going to come in here just to have you make me mad. Well, you know what? See, this is where people get destroyed in life. They don't understand this. They think... See, these are the people that think they get a reward regardless of their actions. This world is trying to eliminate consequences. It's trying to eliminate the importance of your good decision making. Say, well, Pastor, I don't know. I'm just fed up with this world because no one likes me. Well, the Bible says in Proverbs 18, it says, he that will have friends must show himself friendly. Yes. Say, I don't have any friends. It's probably because you're not very friendly. Well, it's always a problem with somebody else. That's what the world has this idea. It's always somebody else that is our problem. Don't ever look and make adjustments to our own character, our own heart. Listen, if something's not happening in my life that should be, that I want to happen, right? You know, I don't go looking for somebody who's the problem. Well, so-and-so, they're always the problem. They're always the problem. They're always the problem. No, turn the attention upon yourself. Adjust your own character. Because this society is like, it's always someone else. No way I could be the problem. You have just proven with that attitude that you are exactly the problem. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, my goodness. Say, wow. Well, this will help. It'll change your life. Because God is not looking for people that are just, you know, always looking out here. You know, always looking. They're the issue. They're the issue. Someone else is my problem. He's looking for us to you know, stop trying to prepare the heart of somebody else. Stop trying to work someone else's soil. Work your own soil. Prepare the own soil of your heart. Get the weeds out of your garden. Stop trying to pull the weeds out of someone else's garden. You know, that's a problem with this world. It absolutely is. We're always trying to find the fault or the problem in someone else's life. Stop that. Stop that. You're sowing the wrong seeds. You know, people have this mentality. Well, the grass is always greener on the other side. Well, start watering your own grass. I say that all the time. That's a joke. I heard another minister say that. And you know, when you hear another minister say something that you like, the first time you use it, you use their name, you give them credit the first time. The second time you use their illustration, you say, I heard some minister say that. And then the third time you use that illustration, you say, I always say. So that's why I always say, because this is at least the third time I've used that now. You know, people say, you know, people get that way in their marriages. They start becoming discontent in their marriage. They look at somebody else or somebody else's marriage. They start to daydream. They start having thoughts about other people because they think the grass will be greener on that side. Water your own grass. You want your marriage to be better? Start being generous to your spouse. Start sowing love and kindness, forgiveness, patience. How about you be patient with your spouse? Praise the Lord. I'm not even through my introduction yet. Okay. All right. So it's given to us to know these mysteries. And Jesus said, once you know this, you understand it. He said, to those that understand this, give them more. Give them more. Make sure that he's richly, richly abundant, the Lord said. And the one that doesn't understand this, the one that doesn't care about this, even what he has, take it away. Sure, I know. You will not find that in the seeker-sensitive church in America today. You know, the trendy church. Not going to find it. But guess what? God's still going to hold us accountable to it. That principle is in stone whether the church finds it comfortable or not. Amen. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad that we don't compromise? See, now you walk out of here today, this is how heaven works. This is how God moves upon my life. You have a big part to play in this. God's just produced, he's just given you what? He's given you the seed of the word. He's given you a field to sow in. Guess what the field is to sow in? Your local church. And he's given you a sower, your pastor. You're getting the word sown into the soil of your heart. Make sure your heart is ready. All right, now look what Jesus, go over to verse 18. Now, Jesus is going to start to explain the parable. And, of course, we've done a lot of this already, so we won't need to retread over this ground. He says in verse 18, he says, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. He says, now understand it. He said, I'm going to explain it to you. In verse 19, he says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, Then cometh the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside or the roadside. On the roadside is where the soil is hard. All right, you don't see farmers planting too many crops on the shoulder of the road, all right? Because it's been beaten down, it's compacted soil, that seed will just sit on top, it will never get into the soil, and the birds can just come and eat it up easily. Now, this is describing a certain condition of the heart. Now, ask yourself, what kind of dirt am I? All right, here we go. This is the dirt that wouldn't understand the word. Not that they couldn't understand it, because the principle is easy. But they chose not to understand it, meaning they didn't care about it. This is what I call the presumptuous dirt. They thought they knew it already. There is a couple ways that you can come to church. You can come to church with an attitude that I know it all already, or you can come to the church and say, I know nothing. It's better to have a mentality that says, Father, compared to what you know, I know nothing. And I'm going to respond to the message today as if I've never heard anything like it before in my life. There's many of you that have heard a sermon like this right here in this church. You've heard me preach on the parable of sower probably many times. And so this might not be new, but we are hungry people. They will be very quick to receive. You know, just because you've had spaghetti before doesn't mean you're not going to be hungry for it again. You know, listen, I didn't just eat one cheeseburger in my life. I haven't just had one steak in my life. When I had it, I knew I was going to have it again and again and again, and I'm still hungry for it. Praise the Lord. Yeah, maybe about an hour and a half from now. Praise the Lord for me. Not for you, for me. Praise God. These are the presumptuous people. They come in thinking, I already know. I had somebody just recently, they tell me, I was talking to them, and their life is in great turmoil. And they say, but I have a great deep knowledge about God. I said, well, there's your problem right there. An attitude that says, I have a great deep knowledge. I'd never take that approach to the Lord. Saying, I know all this already. Wrong. That's why he's not producing harvest in your life, because you are unteachable. You are not correctable. See, the roadside people are hard-hearted. They're not correctable. They're not teachable. They're presumptuous, and they believe that this doesn't pertain to them. These people didn't think it was pertinent to them. They didn't value what they heard as having great significance to their life. He that has an ear to hear, let them hear. Jesus is saying this has great significance for your life. Oh, come on. There are harvests waiting in your future that God has for you, and there's harvests in your future that the devil has for you. Which one are you going to walk into? God's saying, please listen, listen. Don't be presumptuous. Don't think that this isn't pertinent to you, all right? These are people that had zero intentions to change when they heard the word. Unfortunately, there are people, no doubt even today, that have zero intentions to make an adjustment in their life when they hear the word. Your roadside. Your roadside. And guess what the devil is doing? He is parked right outside this door. And when you didn't hear the word today with urgency, with great intentions to change, without great attentiveness, right? He's waiting at the door, and he's just going to steal it away. He said the wicked one comes and catches away. He will steal the word right out of your heart if you don't intend to do something about it. You say, well, you mean the devil's at church? Yeah, he goes to church more than you do. Praise the Lord. You know, I saw someone somewhere wrote something about this church recently, and they said, you know, I went to that church, liked it, but it was too preachy. Roadside dirt. I heard the word, and I just didn't have any intentions to do it. I didn't like the preachy. No, listen, if you don't like my preaching, I could understand that. But what I'm talking about is to hear the word and not to want to change and make an adjustment in your life. Bad dirt. And they're not bad dirt because they didn't like this church, you understand. But they don't like the preachiness. They won't want somebody coming in there and showing them the word, and it has, you know, great implications for their life. They don't want to make an adjustment. Well, praise the Lord. They had zero intentions to change when they heard. They had no urgency when they heard the word. They were not teachable. They were not correctable. You could say it this way. They were set in their ways. You know, you've heard this said 1,000 times, but it's true. The definition of insanity. You know what it is. To do the same thing and expect different results. You want something to be different in your life, you're going to have to do something different. You're going to have to step it up and do a new level of sowing, a new level of speaking, a new level of acting. See, we could sit here and I could give you a motivational speech and I could just say, you know what, everything's okay. And let's just read a poem, cry, and go home. You know, we could do that. But when the wicked one shows up at your door, what's going to happen if you don't care about the word and he steals it as you leave today, that he stole your faith? Because the faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. And that faith was going to be something that you were going to need to use one day. And the devil's going to knock on your door and you're going to need what you heard 2 weeks ago, 10 weeks ago, 6 months ago. You're going to need what you're hearing. Because all of a sudden, one day, the devil's going to knock on your door, and all of a sudden, you're going to go to use and pull out that faith to use, but it's not going to be there because he already stole away your help because you didn't care. You weren't urgent. You know, people come to this church, and they see people amening and praising, and they say, I just can't handle all the vocalization. It just seems weird to me. No, it wouldn't seem weird when you see someone that's hungry. They're just hungry. They're just receiving with joy. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is what happens. The devil steals away the word from their heart, meaning it won't be there to use. Their faith is therefore stolen, and it's inoperative because they didn't attend to the word correctly. Wayside dirt. Now, let me show you real quick what Jesus said in Mark 4:24. Mark 4:24. This is how we should come to church. This is how you prevent yourself from being roadside dirt. Oh, you want to be good ground. Don't be the shoulder of the road. Hard-hearted, presumptuous. Be a humble, you know, be humble soil. You know what I mean? Be cultivated. And, you know, for the lack of a better word, you understand what I mean when I say this. But a brokenness. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean that in a humble way. Like that means that you're easily to be moved. You know, God can easily, you know, cultivate that soil. The roadside is hard. You can't hardly get through it. You know what I mean? Can't move it. Not flexible. Not pliable at all. Jesus said this, and actually this is Mark's account of the parable of the sower. Jesus said unto them, take heed what you hear. Look what Jesus said. Be warned. Take heed or guard what you hear. All right? Notice, because what you hear has a possibility to become what you believe.
Yes, it does.
What you hear is a seed trying to plant into your life. I noticed this when I wasn't living for Jesus and I was living for the devil. I noticed I listened to music that talked about drugs. It talked about promiscuous living, talked about all that stuff. And guess what I was doing in my life? Well, yeah, because it was seed being sown through my faith gates. Faith comes by hearing, even negative faith. What you live is a result of what you're listening to. Yeah. Jesus says, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, or with what measure you hear, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. But notice it's not just the hearing, it's the measure you have when you hear. It's not just sitting in church. It's the measure you bring, the measure of excitement, the measure of attentiveness, the measure of response and eagerness and hunger. Sitting in church does not change your life. Sitting and coming to church with a great measure to hear will change your life. I don't come to church to get an attendance point with God. You know, I don't attendance policy. I don't come to get a little golden star on my chart because I was there. Okay, I come here to hear. Because I need to hear. Because ahead is coming the test. I'm going to tell on myself. When I was in college, I did not serve God. I did not know Jesus. And I took a simple mathematics course, and it was called statistical survey, or I don't know. You can tell I really paid attention in this class. Well, this class, I did fairly well in college and things. I did okay. You know, I wasn't a 4.0 GPA guy, but I did fairly well. But there was this one class, and it was always later in the afternoon, and I had a tendency to not want to go to that class. And so what I did is I missed, listen, before I knew Jesus, okay, all right, let's make that clear, all right, this was not right, this is an example of what not to do, all right, and so I started missing this class, and I just decided I was going to show up for the final exam. Well, guess what happened? I flunked that exam, and it was the only course in all of my college that I ever failed. And the thing is, the material was not hard at all. It was easy. When I retook the class, I got an A because I showed up to the class. Because you know what? The test is coming. And the reason why I failed is because I failed to hear. And the reason why Christians fail is because they failed to show up for class. And they didn't hear. And when the devil shows up to test your life, you are going to have to go to your notes. You're going to have done the studying, right? Study to show yourself approved. Amen. Praise the Lord. Look at this. Hebrews 4:1. I'll bring you this. See, we're still just talking about the roadside dirt. Jesus said, when you come to hear, you come with a great measure. You meet the word with a great measure. Watch what Hebrews 4:1 and 2 say. It says, let us therefore fear. That word says reverence. The word for fear is not just to be panicked or worried. He says, lest a promise being left us of entering into God's rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Notice it's completely possible to come short of God's promises. And the Bible says that should give you a holy fear of coming short of what God has for you. And I'm telling you, a majority of the body of Christ today is coming short of what God has. Yeah, he says, don't come short of what God has for you. Verse 2, and this is why. He says, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. Notice there's two different groups. Both received the same gospel. You could say it this way. This is like a science experiment. You have control group A. You have control group B. Both A and B heard the same gospel, the same seed of the word. Right? But notice it says this, but the word preached did not profit them, control group B, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Okay, same gospel for control group A and control group B, but the variable is that control group A used faith when they heard it, and control group B did not mix faith when they heard it. It's kind of like two plants. You know, remember the Miracle-Gro commercial? The plant on the left received Miracle-Gro, the plant on the right received none. And the one on the right's all withery and droopy, and the one on the other side is all flourishing and growing. It's the same thing. God gives us the same gospel. But when we hear it, guess what we need to do? Right now, mix faith with it. Mix faith. Right now, God is putting things in your heart to adjust, to make changes. He's correcting. He's telling you what to do. He's giving you assignments. That is your goal. That is your opportunity to mix faith when you hear it. People come into churches all the time. They sit there, they take up the time, but they didn't mix faith when they heard. And so it doesn't profit them. Won't be God's fault. Won't be God's fault. Well, hallelujah. Listen, folks, I love you. I love you with a God-given divine love as a pastor in the church. I love you. And I'll tell you what, nobody wants you to succeed and be more blessed than I do. I want nothing but God's highest harvest in your life. But if I don't teach you the principle correctly, it won't happen. And that would hurt to see you go without. So if it seems challenging, if it seems convicting, no, it's because it's out of love. Jesus said in Revelation 3:16, he says, as many as I rebuke, I love. I don't want to see what you have be taken away. Yep, all right. Now, let's go to Matthew 13. And we're over there now. Go to verse 20, and this will just be real quick. We'll at least get through two of the different kinds of soil. You need to ask yourself. And listen, if we're not careful, there will be elements of every kind of soil in our lives. You know what I mean? There can be elements of all of these kinds. Listen, everything we've heard today will be pertinent to every single one of us. That's right. And notice this. I just think it's interesting that out of this parable, three out of the four soils were no good. 75%. Couldn't we use that same percentage on God's people today? You could say this, a great majority are not producing harvest. Let's not be in that. Verses 20 and 21, Jesus says, but he that receives the seed into the stony places is the same as he that heareth the word, that's us, and anon, that word means immediately, and immediately with joy receives it. Okay, that is good. All right, that's how we're supposed to receive the word, with joy, and we're supposed to receive it immediately. All right, but yet there's a problem in verse 21. Yet has he no root in himself, but endures for a while. For when tribulations or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. All right. Dirt number two is the offended dirt, the troubled dirt, and the shallow believer. Woo! Yes. The offended dirt. See, they could not, they grew up a little bit, but they had a very thin layer of soil. You could say it this way, they were thin-skinned. They couldn't handle it. They were offended at what someone said, offended at what someone did, troubled. This is the worried dirt. If you are a worrier, you are risking being the rocky soil. You'll see, I see it so many times. Have you ever been there? Maybe you're facing this right now. Maybe a little while ago, a year, 2 years, a few years ago, you started following Christ and you had this great excitement. And all of a sudden, you know, you realize it's a lifelong commitment stuff, and people start to just, you know, wane. They start to wane in their participation, wane in what they do for God. It's because they shot up quick, and then since then, it's been nothing but a withering show. Because they had offense. They were thin-skinned. Yeah. Come on now. They had shallow belief. This is what shallow belief is. You get offended when a hard time comes. Shallow belief is when you thought your faith would keep you out of every trial. Notice that the trials, the tribulations, and persecutions arise because of the word. Because of the word of God you heard, the devil then moves and tries to trouble you out of a position to receive from him. You know, you'll hear the word and you'll get excited about forgiving somebody. And you'll go and you'll forgive somebody, and then somebody almost immediately will hurt you worse than ever before. Someone you love or care about will say something that's completely heinous and wrong. You'll say, oh my goodness, I can't forgive that. That trial came to steal the word that you heard. You'll hear the word of God about tithing. You'll get excited. You'll start tithing. And then a financial crisis will, boom, land on your life. And you'll say, this tithing business doesn't work. No, it's because the devil came to try to steal the word. He brought you that trial to get you to say that it doesn't work. That is a shallow believer. I don't do the word so no trials will ever come my way. I do the word to honor God.
That's right, yes.
And it overcomes any trial that comes my way. Oh, praise the Lord. Don't be a shallow believer. It's easy to go to an entertainment style church and, whoo, you know, we love the music. We love all this stuff. Well, I tell you what, those people are going to shrink in the face of real adversity if no one ever put real word in them. Come on now. It's shallow belief. Shallow belief. Shallow belief is why we have so many church hoppers in this community. Go over here for a little while. Come over here. Come over here for a while. Come over here. Come over here for a little while. That's shallow belief. Why? Because as soon as someone said something they didn't like, they go somewhere else and somewhere else and somewhere else and somewhere else and somewhere else. Listen, we are supposed to be developing covenant church families.
Yes.
Covenant church families, not fast food mentality. Praise the Lord. Amen. The Bible says over there in 1 Corinthians 12:18 that God sets the members in the body of Christ as it pleases him.
Yes.
He sets the bodies, or the body parts in the body as it pleases him.
Right.
Yeah. And so, how easy should it be to remove a body part, a person out of church? Well, we shouldn't be swapping out body parts all the time out of our body, should we? It's the same thing, you know, and people suffer as a result of it because they're just getting offended everywhere. Yep. They couldn't endure. They lost their joy. They had received the joy when they heard the word, but they lost the joy when the trial came. Don't be that. That is the assignment of offense and trial, to steal your joy. Are you here today?
Yeah.
I'm almost done. They get troubled, they get worried, they get panicked. A troubled heart is an unbelieving heart. The devil is trying to trouble people out of position to receive the coming blessing. When you started to receive the word with joy and sow the right seed, the process started in your behalf. Don't uproot that seed through your offense. Yeah. They ran from the storm when they should have been dancing in the rain. Right? They ran. Well, I wanted to be apart from the storm. Well, no. See, the word put in you is to keep joy even in the midst of that storm. Come on now. Did you get some help out of this? So what kind of dirt are you? We covered two here today. Are you the wayside dirt? Are you the presumptuous dirt? Doesn't pertain to me. Disinterested. Are you the offended dirt, the rocky soil, where you just shoot up for a little while and then, you know, real life sets in and all of a sudden you wane and wither away? No, that's shallow belief. Don't be that. The body of Christ doesn't need any more shallow believers. Do you get some help here? I love you. I promise. I promise. You know, sometimes people, they'll misunderstand boldness and they'll think it's brash. No, boldness is what we need. We need to hear it. We don't need it flowered. We don't need it doctored. We don't need it sugared. We need it straight.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and let's pray. Father, we love you. We praise you.